welcome you joining us online, and welcome you to come out and visit anytime. And those of you joining us online, let's start the service this morning by turning to hymn number 70, Holy, Holy, Holy. If you're able to stand as we sing.
Father, and cure this cancer that he got, Father. Watch over him and keep him safe. And I ask him to be my daughter, Father, who has this cancer in her breast, Father, that you watch over her. And there's so many on the prayer list, Father, we can't remember them all. But Father, you know all things. You know every name. You know every hair in their head. And just watch over them and keep them safe, Father, and bring them back. They'll be with our boys who is in harm's way, Father, watch over them. Ones that serving in our community here, Father, as firemen, policemen, that you protect them and watch over them. Go with us through this service, Father, and that your name might be lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I thought since John wasn't able to be here today, we go to one of the books that he's named after. Kind of bringing him in that way. First John, if you'll turn there. First John, the letter to one of the letters that he wrote. I'd like to look at this first chapter and maybe draw some lessons from it. I don't know that I have a lot of time to get into the second chapter too much, but I'm going to want to do that too. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this time together as we consider your word today. May we be able to listen and learn. May you give us understanding ears and receptive hearts to the things that are taught here, that we might go from this place saying it's been good to be in your house. Thank you for those that are here, and for those who are watching, we pray you would bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the first five verses of this chapter, of this book, this letter, John says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Then he has a parenthetical statement here, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it. He goes on to explain what he is going to talk about. And he says, we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us, that we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we have in this very opening verses of this epistle, John speaks of being as himself, being an eyewitness, the things he actually saw with his own eyes, and he was there. It actually happened during his time upon the earth. And he was the eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he said was the word of life, and that who is himself eternal life. So what John is telling us here is that in him we have life, and that life was the light of men. From the gospel of John chapter 1 verse 4, So he does actually declare the eternal deity of Christ. There are those across the creek there that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, a son, just like one of us. He's not eternal. He's a great prophet. Well, the Muhammads believe that. But John tells us here that Jesus Christ is God. And that he is he gives us and he declares the eternal deity of Christ and the blessed unity of the triune God. You ever have any the Jehovah's false witnesses come to your door and they want to talk to you about something? You take them to 1 John and show them, hey, this is the Jesus I know, not yours. You no need to talk to me about your kind of religion. And they don't know how to answer that. They may come say, well, we've got us, we'll be back. We'll bring somebody that's a little more learned in the Word. They kept coming here. I'd be out working, doing something. They'd come up, visit. And two or three times they'd come, they'd start talking to you. I'd give them quotes out of the Bible about Jesus and about him being eternal. Soon they'd send others. And then one time there were two very distinguished looking gentlemen come. They must have been elders in the Jehovah's Witness Church. Well, I sent them packing too. So they just can't answer. They don't really have the same Bible we do anyway. So don't fit in God's speed. So that which was from the beginning. So as we see that Moses or John is specifically speaking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about our Savior. And as Micah tells us in chapter 5 and verse 2, in Micah 5 and verse 2, said, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And he says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, you understand this is a prophecy of where Christ would be born. He said, take upon himself the likeness of flesh, being born of a womb of Virgin Mary. He says, yet out of thee, Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. And notice that last phrase, who's going forth have been from old, from everlasting. So our blessed Savior indeed went forth from the beginning as our covenant surety. He went forth to save us from our sins. Solomon said in the Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs 8 chapter verse 23, speaking of Christ, and as Christ, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. You could mark these verses or take note if anyone ever questions the deity of Christ. You can show them these verses. Isaiah, another good one, in chapter 46 and verse 10. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And we know this is speaking of Christ by the context there in Isaiah 46. And then in John chapter 1, verse 1, and the gospel began there, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is indeed the expression of God, Jesus Christ, expressed in human flesh and human likeness. John chapter 6, verse 64. And Christ said to them, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who shall betray them. From the beginning. It was from the beginning of creation. From the beginning, before there was a beginning. And so, as in Acts chapter 15, in verse 18, he says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And then in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, in verse 13, that we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we understand that Christ is eternal. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, why John wrote this letter, this epistle, he says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. There's no doubt the Bible claims the deity and the eternality of Jesus Christ. He was not a created being. He is God, and he is from the beginning. Then John goes on to assure us of his, that his message, as he said, it's no more or less than that which he had personally experienced. It was, his message was one that he had seen and heard. And it was not secondhand information. This is John's own account of what he had seen and heard. It was that which he knew by personal experience, you understand. He says, I'm telling you about that which I've heard and that which I've seen with my own ears and my own eyes, and which we have looked upon diligently, and that with great delight, this man, this God-man, Jesus Christ, and our hands have handled, and that he calls him the Word of Life. So Christ is, who is life, essential. Who swallowed up death in victory and brought life and immortality to life, that by the gospel. So that's who John is relating to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, there in verse 9, says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And he goes on to say in verse 10, but is now made manifest, is made known. How? By the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul, talking to Timothy, went on to say, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is our hope. This is our everlasting hope. And he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. Paul said, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So this is that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So John is not merely glorying in the fact that he had physically seen and handled and known the Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. Many did that. There were many that he was witness to. Multitudes that did see him and hear him and dine with him and commune with him while he was here upon the earth. John's not merely boasting in that, but what John is boasting in, he's talking about a true spiritual saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. To know him more than just as a person that we may work with or dine with or fellowship with. He knew him as his own Savior, his own personal Savior. He said in 2 Corinthians to the Corinthian church in chapter 5 of that second letter, verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. We know him more than we do just in flesh and bone. We know him as God, as our Savior. So he proclaims the believer's fellowship with God in Jesus Christ. As we brought a message a while back on being in Christ, I don't know if you remember that or not. And this is where he's coming from on that. This blessed fellowship with God in Christ. He shows us his desire for every believer to have that fullness of joy. To know that you being in Christ have such great blessings. And because he says, truly, fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. That's a union that's being the ground of communion, is the ground of fellowship. The union that we have in Christ brings us in communion with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And so, it's ours. And, you know, actually, when Moses realized this back in the Old Testament, that having Jesus as his Savior, knowing him, and the faith that Abraham had was not only in God, but in the promised Messiah, it made him shout. It made him shout, "Blessed art thou, O Israel." And, you know, we're looking at Israel today in the news, and the Bible says that Israel will be a burdensome stone. And no one can ever go up against Israel and win. Not in the end. There may be a time when we all forsake him. With this barrage from Iran, we hear them, Biden, what a two-faced he is. I shouldn't say that online, but I might get in trouble for that. But he's double-minded. At one time, he's telling Israel, you need to quit, you need to stop this, and just go back home. Leave it alone. Now he's saying, oh, we're behind Israel now. We're going to protect them. We're going to do what it takes. Anyway, I get disgusted with our government. I don't know about you. Don't get off. So he proclaims the believer's fellowship with God. Paul says, or John here says, he wants you all to have this. In the book of Deuteronomy, I need to get back my lesson. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency? Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. This is God's promise. But the Mohammedans have always been against Israel. Since Abraham rejected Esau, and then later on he married again, Keturah, I think 3 years after Sarah had died. He was 145 years old, and I think he still had, 7 or 8 kids after that, maybe more. He lived to be 175. But all those that were born under Keturah and maybe other handmaids besides the one that Rahab, not Rahab, but the other handmaid,
Ishmael.
Yeah, Ishmael and that group, they were all sent to the east. Ishmael alone was kept. Esau and them were sent away. You know where they're at? Where they came from? Everywhere that Israel's having problems, the east. Iran, Arab, they're all Arabs. They're all works movers. They all believe in salvation by works. Anyway, in this context, this is a message that God had sent him to declare. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So the context says, John is not simply telling us of God, of his transcendent excellence. He's not just telling us about his purity. He is telling us what the message is that we are sent to proclaim. Of course, we brag on our God. We should lift him up and worship him and show his excellency to others. But the message we should proclaim is, this world is in darkness.
Amen.
I've got light. I can show you where the light is. Amen. That's our message. That's what John is telling us. God, the Holy Spirit, has given us the light of the knowledge. This is what he says. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. So we have all this as an introduction to this little letter that John was inspired to write. And then in the following verses, the apostle raises six issues that demand our consideration. Beginning in verse 6, there are six ifs here. Beginning in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's it. We walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. Anyone who professes that he has faith in Christ, that he has fellowship with God, who is the light, and yet walks in darkness. A lot of people will say, I believe in Jesus. Or the demons believe and tremble. If you say you have faith and you trust God, you trust Jesus Christ, and you walk in darkness, you're lying. That's all there is to it. This darkness, the very profession that you're making is a lie. Your profession of faith is a lie. Those who remain in darkness, and that means you're ignorant of the plague of your own heart. If you remain in darkness, you're ignorant of the fact that you're depraved, that you're a sinner, that you were born a sinner, and you denounce that or deny that. That's darkness. You can't become a child of God until you realize you were born as if you were a child of Satan. You must repent, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, have a change of mind, and which brings about a change of ways. You come to know Christ as your Savior through faith that God gives, and you turn toward God against yourself. That's repentance. Say, God, you're right. I'm a sinner. I deserve condemnation. That's walking in darkness. Ignorant of the character of God. Ignorant of the character and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's darkness. Ignorant of the salvation that is brought about by God, the Holy Spirit. If you're ignorant of those things, you walk in darkness. Those who are born of God do not walk in darkness. They know the truth, and they walk in it. We know as we walk every morning when we rise up, we need to realize we're here because God permits it.
Amen.
We're given breath, life. Our heart beats, the very blood that flows through our veins is there and flowing, and we're alive and conscious. It's a gift of God every moment. And we need to realize that. Because he says, you have the truth and you walk in it. In chapter 2, verse 20 of this very letter, he says, ye have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. Unction is, you have a understand. You have you're given an understanding to know these things. In chapter 2, 1 John, verse 27, says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not than any man teacheth. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is the truth, and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So this is a great promise of God. God's saints do sometimes walk in darkness. We do sometimes perhaps forget. Perhaps when great trials come, perhaps when tragedy hits, we think, how can God be for me in this going on in my life? And we may walk in darkness for a time, but that darkness that we experience is actually the darkness of someone who sees no light in themselves. We see no light in ourselves. When we're asked, and I can't help it, I think Dave Ramsey started that. How are you? Much better than I deserve. Isn't that true? We are all much better off than we deserve. So Isaiah said in chapter 15, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that believeth, or that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Who is it? Are you one of those that walk in darkness and have no light? It says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Just fix yourself upon God. And we've been studying the book of Job, and the whole theme of that book is have faith in God. And it teaches us that no matter what, we need to trust God. But if we walk in the light, the second if, I don't know if I'll get through all six of them or not. Maybe. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, chapter 1, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light. A big if. So all who walk in the light of God, the light that Christ gives, and that by his Spirit, in the revelation of the gospel, living by faith in Christ, that brings us into fellowship with one another. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
Because we walk in the light together. We're brethren. The blood of Jesus Christ perpetually, continually cleanses us from all sin. We get out into the world, we do fall into sin. I agree with an old commentator, Robert Walker. Hawker. Every word here is bigger and more important than all the world, is what he said. Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his dear Son, can put away sin. Nothing. No matter what works or what so-called sacraments you perform, no matter how sincere you may be in your obedience to God, it won't put away sin. Nothing but the precious blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood of one who himself is God is of infinite value to put away our sin. We have such a low estimation of what sin is. We always undervalue the wickedness, the evil. We excuse sin, call it a mistake, we call it a misjudgment. precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's past sin, present sin, and sad enough to say, when we sin, future sin, original sin, even our sin nature, our deeds of iniquity, our actions of transgression, even the iniquity of our holy things. Everything we do is mixed with sin because we're in a sinful flesh. That's why Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" The precious blood of Christ cleanses. That's a continuing cleansing. And then thirdly, we see in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, just in case you're starting to think, well, I'm not a sinner. He says, well, wait a minute. If we say we have no sin, and this doesn't excuse us, and he said, well, I'm only human, I can't help it. No, it's not where he's going with it. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And even here he says, the truth is not in us. So anyone who denies that he is a sinner, present tense, is a liar. Christ is not in him. All believers know, we all acknowledge, that we are sinners. And that sin is mixed with all we do. Behold, I am God. Paul himself said. And I don't think Paul was speaking there in Romans chapter 7. I believe it is. That I am. He wasn't speaking necessarily as a young Christian. I think he'd been saved some time. Been faithful to God for many years, probably by this time. And he said, I know that in me, and then he qualifies it, he says, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what Paul said of himself. I didn't look up the reference. It's in Romans chapter 7, I believe. But, and then there's a fourth if. I think we'll get down. If we confess our sins, here's a big if, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessed truth that is. What a blessing to know that you can be forgiven. Confessing your sin. And confession means forsake, confess and forsake that sin. So all who acknowledge and they confess their sins are redeemed and they're saved by the grace of God. They're pardoned. They're justified if we confess our sins. If you read the Old Testament and the Old Testament sacrifices, they had a scapegoat. And they would lay the priest would lay his hands on the head of that scapegoat, transferring in tithe the sins of the people to that goat, and they'd send the goat away. So that's what you do. When you confess, you're laying your hands upon the head of the scapegoat, and you're sending your guilt away. Laying the hands upon the head of that sacrifice, Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just. He forgives us our sins. He removes its guilt. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Because we're granted the righteousness of God in Christ. And then number 5, the fifth if, verse 10, says if we say that we have not sinned, just in case, you didn't hear the last one, we make him a liar. And his word is not enough. So what? You want to make God a liar? No. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Anyone who foolishly imagines that he has not sinned, and even when performing our most religious deeds, calls God a liar. And the word of God has no place in it. And then number 6, chapter 2, verse 1. You get there. My little children, he says, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, he could have said when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, that's that ultimate sacrifice, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So don't sin. When I heard Brother Hobbs many, many years ago preach on this, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Period. Isn't there a period in your Bible? Is it a comma? It's a period. Stands alone. Sin not. That's our goal, isn't it? We sin not. Make that your goal. Do never be content with sin. Never excuse sin. Never imagined you have attained it in this world, sinlessness. But it's your goal. You can write the word when in place of if. But to keep the outline right, I used all 6 tips. So when you do sin, do not despair, as though you have no hope, that you've lost your Savior. Christ is your advocate still. What a blessed truth that is. His blood is effectual. His blood is always effectual. You can write it down. You are forgiven still. The Lord, your God, will not impute your sin to you. He said in Romans 4, verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So our blessed advocate is with the Father. He is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the righteous one. He is indeed the propitiation, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And he pleads our cause. Someone gave me an illustration. I don't know which preacher it was, but it stuck with me. It says there, we're told that Jesus is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And when you sin, he says, Father, there's my blood. I paid that. Let him go. That's what he does. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who even is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Did you know that? Jesus Christ, this very morning, is there in heaven making intercession for all who believe. I think, was it William Cowper wrote, it is one of my soul. Was it? I think it was. Anyway, he wrote, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well, with my soul. What a blessing to know that. May God lift you up to the highest hopes and glory that we have in Jesus Christ. we'll be dismissed for a moment. Amen. Lord, thank you again for your blessings upon us as we gather here today. We think of those that would be here if they could, especially with Brother John as he's away from us. And we ask you to continue to heal him. Be with those that may yet be on their way, give them safe travels. And thank you once again for your watch care over us and the blessings that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.